Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
You want me to blow up a couple of dozen FBI agents?
You got a problem with that?
Agent Walker, this is Jack. Get your men out of the building. It's a trap.
Get the canister.
Clearly, Hodges is behind this.
We want him taken to the FBI for interrogation.
He's a sociopath, Mom. He's not going to talk. He's going to want to make some kind of deal in exchange for his cooperation.
Mom, you're not considering that.
Olivia?
You know what this man is, what he did to Roger.
I've upset the card, have I?
That bioweapon that you developed for us was not intended for personal use. I think we can both agree that there's no reason for your family to pay for your mistakes. It'll induce a cardiac arrest and leave no trace in your system.
Hodges swallows the red capsule and collapses.
We are rerouting to West Arlington to hospital.
Have you heard from Almeida?
He called in before I met with Hodges.
Has he secured the canister?
Soon.
He's your guy. You better not screw this up.
I have faith he'll come through.
Why don't you go back to FBI Medical and let them treat you?
There is no treatment. There's no cure.
It's almost like they knew, Jack. They would have needed time to wire this building with explosives. This is the last sector we were due to search.
What?
What is your involvement?
You're not thinking straight. The toxin's starting to affect your judgment. Now, why don't you put the gun
don't
down?
Don't you move!
I never wanted to hurt you, Jack. I told you to stay out of it. We get some help here? This man's having a seizure.
Jack watches, wide-eyed and powerless, as Tony walks away.
The following takes place between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m.
Numerous crews work to get the fire in the bomb-damaged building under control. Paramedics support injured FBI staff away from the scene.
Mr. Barry should be feeling better already. I'm giving you 5 cc's of intravenous pendopamine. It'll deconstrict your muscles. Just hang in there. Don't talk. Your vocal cords are in spasm.
What the hell happened?
Tony Almeida found him in full seizure.
What about the medication packet?
He wasn't carrying it. Mr. Bauer, please, don't speak.
Stop.
Tony, I don't understand.
Second man.
Jack, what?
Put out an APB.
How do you know this?
Do it.
Attention all patrols and perimeter teams, this is Alpha One. I'm issuing a priority APB on Tony Almeida. Approach with extreme caution. He's colluding with Galvan. All units to engage the suspect should do so with extreme caution.
Tony approaches an FBI SUV and callously shoots both occupants. He throws them out onto the roadway. He then disconnects and jettisons what might be the vehicle's tracker device before driving away. Jack lies on a stretcher under the care of Dr. Mesa. The drugs she has given him seem to be taking effect.
Okay, you really need to give yourself more time to recover. Here's another med pack. Make sure he doesn't lose it. I need to go tend to the other wounded.
All right, tell me what the hell is going on.
Tony was working with Galvez all along. He used us, all of us, so that he could get to the canister.
So wait, what are you saying? Tony killed Larry?
Yes. They must have ambushed him as the chopper was sitting down. Tony stayed behind so he could monitor our search. Set the trap and made sure Galvez could get behind the perimeter.
God.
I'm so sorry. This is my fault. I vouched for him to you, to the president. I made a terrible, terrible mistake. I felt that something was wrong, things weren't adding up. I just wanted to believe.
Alpha One, this is Agent Kilner.
Alpha One, go ahead.
Agent Walker, I'm at Checkpoint Delta. I've got 2 agents dead, shot point blank. Their vehicle's missing.
He's made it past the perimeter.
Tracking on the vehicle's been disabled. Position is unknown.
Widen the perimeter and keep looking for Almeida. If we lose him, we lose the canister.
You're not gonna find him, he's gone. We need to phone the president. Let's go.
Tony pulls up in his stolen vehicle in a darkened parking lot. His face is set in a cynical sneer as he gets out of the SUV. He looks around cautiously as he walks unhurriedly towards a row of what appear to be motel room doors. Approaching one of these, he knocks. Inside, Galvez goes to the door and puts his eye to the peephole before opening it to allow Tony in.
You made it.
Sound surprised.
After Bauer called you out, I wasn't sure you would.
You don't have to worry about Jack Bauer. He's not gonna be a problem. So where's the canister?
Where's the money? Hey, that was our agreement. Money first.
Tony sneers at Galvez as if such considerations were beneath him, but reaches into his pocket and pulls out a slip of paper.
There you go. It's all there, wired into your account. You can check it if you want.
I want.
Galvez dials out on his mobile and listens. Tony watches him all the while from under veiled eyelids.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
So where's the canister?
Galvez takes a small rucksack from the closet.
Right here.
He drops it onto the bed and steps aside. Tony looks on darkly and finally gets up from his chair, wincing at the pain in his side.
So what do you plan on doing with it?
Not really your business, is it?
You gonna sell it?
Tony, his back to Galvez, opens the rucksack. All it contains is a telephone directory. He turns to find Galvez leveling a gun at him.
You don't want to do this.
Hey, now who's the damn buyer?
Tony swipes Galvez's gun away with the phone book. They fight. Tony forces Galvez into the bathroom. Getting him onto the floor, he kicks him in the face and then rips down the see-through plastic shower curtain and wraps it tightly around his head.
Where's the canister?
Where's the canister?
End of part one.
One of the Marines that was guarding Hodges noticed he was trying to swallow something. He intervened, got him to the hospital before the poison could be completely ingested.
So he'll survive?
Yes, ma'am. But the doctors are surprised he pulled through.
Oh, it's because they never met the son of a bitch. How did Hodges get this poison?
We suspect from a woman who claimed to be his attorney.
Claimed to be?
She was an imposter. D.C. police found the body of Hodges' real attorney about 5 minutes ago. We're still trying to determine how she managed to breach security.
Madam President, Agent Walker and Jack Bauer...
Put them through.
Yes, ma'am.
This is President Taylor. I'm here with Tim Woods.
Madam President.
Have you secured the canister?
I'm afraid not, ma'am. Our suspect escaped beyond the perimeter.
I was told that the area was locked down. What happened?
He had help, Madam President, from Tony Almeida.
Almeida?
Yes, ma'am.
He was working for us.
It only appeared that way. Apparently, he was pursuing his own agenda, trying to get his hands on the canister. Madam President, I know I vouched for him. All I can tell you right now is that I was wrong, and I'm sorry.
Now that we know he has the canister, do we have any idea what he intends to do with it?
No, not yet.
Or where he is?
We're all hands on deck here, sir, regrouping to develop leads.
I may have one. As Hodges was taken into custody, he yelled at me about some larger group that would continue on after his arrest, something that I wouldn't be able to stop.
What do you think he meant?
All I know for sure is that someone doesn't want Hodges to talk.
Shortly after he was arrested, Hodges was visited by a woman impersonating his lawyer. She apparently gave him some kind of lethal drug because 10 minutes later, he tried to commit suicide.
Tried to commit suicide?
He's still alive. Jonas Hodges was completely unrepentant. Now, this suicide attempt must have been coerced.
Well, obviously, they're holding something over him, most likely his family. If that's the case, Madam President, we need to talk to him.
Jack, even after everything that's happened today, I will not allow any kind of coercive interrogation.
Madam President, that won't be necessary. He'll talk.
How can you be sure?
Because we can offer Hodges something that he needs.
What's that?
Proof of death. We can convince the people that wanted him dead that they succeeded. It's the only way Hodges can protect his family. Madam President, right now, he's the only lead we've got.
309. The woman who posed as Hodges' attorney knocks at Tony's motel room door. He lets her in. She stops, seeing Galvez's corpse.
Hey.
I'll assume that was necessary.
Don't start with me. I'm not in the mood.
All right.
Mr. Galvez decided to hide the canister from me. So, I had to find out where it was.
We got a delivery to make. Should we go?
No, I don't think we should.
They're expecting us.
Yeah, well, the way I see it, they're gonna take this canister that I sweated blood for and sit on it for 6 months.
Not sit on it. They're gonna use it to make more pathogen. We had 27 canisters, now we have one.
Yeah, and I say one's enough. Look, the government's reeling. The FBI is stretched thin, scrambling, making mistakes. Another attack today is all we need to push this thing right over the edge. This is no time to pull back. I say we take that canister and finish the job off today.
She smiles and strokes his face.
I don't disagree with you, but it's not our decision to make.
Fine. And run it by your group or your gang or whatever the hell they are. But they'll know one thing. You finish your enemy off when he's down. You don't let him get back up and reload. I guarantee you, this thing's gonna be a hell of a lot harder to pull off 6 months from now. And you can say what you want about Jonas Hodges. The fact is, he gave us an opportunity today.
She nods.
Let's take it.
She turns significantly towards Tony. They share a long look.
I'll contact the group.
Good.
Tony turns and starts pulling off his jacket. She continues to look pensively towards him. 311. 316. Olivia Taylor walks briskly through the West Wing with Aaron.
What did she say exactly?
Only that she needs to see you and that it's urgent.
I heard rumors about the FBI operation.
I'm sure your mother will fill you in, ma'am.
She enters the Oval Office.
Olivia.
Is it true the FBI perimeter was breached?
I'm afraid so. The canister's now outside the cordon.
What are we doing to get it back?
Tim, would you excuse us for a moment? Of course.
Olivia watches as Woods closes his folder and withdraws with the merest hint of resentment. She turns to her mother.
What is it?
I need you to call the Attorney General and draft a witness protection agreement for Jonas Hodges.
Witness protection? You can't be serious.
Less than an hour ago, Hodges tried to kill himself. And we all believe that he must have been coerced.
By whom?
You remember his rant? That he is a cog in a larger conspiracy, that there are others who will carry on.
You think they're the ones who took the canister?
Well, we need to find out, which is why we need to get Hodges to talk. Olivia, we feel confident that he will if we can assure him that these people will believe that his suicide attempt actually succeeded. We need to make him disappear, which is why I need the protection agreement. There's no other way he'll talk.
Designate him an enemy combatant, then treat him like one.
We don't do that, not in this administration. And it's not as if he's getting a free pass. He'll be under federal supervision for the rest of his life.
Oh yeah, on a 100-acre ranch in Colorado. This man murdered your son. My brother. Not to mention hundreds of innocent civilians.
I don't need you to tell me what he's done.
Apparently you do.
Olivia, stop it.
What would Dad say? I bet you're afraid to ask.
I said stop. Do you think that this is easy for me? You think it doesn't tear me apart? I'm Roger's mother. But I am also the President of the United States, and I placed my hand on a Bible and swore to protect and defend the Constitution. You are my chief of staff. I need you to act like one. Now, Jonas Hodges is at the FBI, and Jack Bauer will be there shortly. I need an agreement drafted. Do that, please.
319. Tony's accomplice manages an online conference call.
The plan is straightforward. An attack today, this morning, during rush hour, using the bioweapon that Tony Almeida retrieved from Starkwood. You should have each received a data pack when you logged onto this call. Please open it now. The attack will be attributed to this man, Gibran Alzarian, whose body will be left at the scene. The evidence trail implicating him will include fabricated emails, phone records, and a large wire transfer to his account via our favorite Yemeni bank.
You know, I'm looking at the briefing materials.
I'm not seeing how this man is actually connected to any terrorist group.
He isn't. As previously discussed, there are considerable tactical advantages to using an innocent.
But what about his unpredictability?
Alzarian has no agenda of his own.
He'll in fact be easier to control and manipulate than a real terrorist.
So what are the
casualty estimates?
Page 3 describes the casualty estimates as well as secondary effects.
As you can see, we've
Hold
listed...
on. Forget about
what casualties may or may not be. We're talking about launching a new operation in the next few hours without any planning and with only one canister. The plan for this operation was already in place.
We'd just be accelerating the timetable.
We're going to have 6 months to prepare. There's no way to pull it together in a few hours.
I believe there is, with the support of this group.
Support for whom? Is Tony Almeida? We barely know. What about post-attack plans? How is this group going to end up where we need to be?
I agree. How we handle ourselves politically in the aftermath of this event is just as important as the attack itself.
It always has been.
In your opinion, is there time then to achieve all our objectives in the current scenario?
Not with the same level of certainty.
Or anonymity.
That's right.
Well, then maybe it's definitive.
What do you mean?
There's no downside to waiting. There's a huge downside to going in unprepared. Things go wrong, we're looking at exposure for all of us.
No, no, I still don't see it that way.
Gentlemen. Ladies. I've listened to your comments, and there's wisdom.
And what I've heard. But there's also wisdom and something I haven't heard.
Jonas Hodges was a loose cannon, and the group is well rid of him. But in his lunacy, he did us a favor.
He did half our job for us.
More than half. He pushed this country to the brink.
You don't get many gifts like that.
I say we take it.
We have a quorum. I'd like to call for an immediate vote.
Tony's accomplice and her boss, to whom during the conference call she was sending messages requesting that he apply pressure to the group, look on as the various members cast their electronic votes.
Tony.
Tony emerges from the shower, drying himself with a towel.
There you go.
Take a look.
He moves around to look at the screen of her laptop, which shows a unanimous yes vote from all 12 members.
Where to go?
She looks up at him and gives a seductive smile of satisfaction. Tony touches her chin, pulling her face round and up so that he can kiss her. 3:32, end of part two. Part three, 3:26. A small blue helicopter takes off. Janice leads Jack and Renee downstairs into the basement of FBI HQ.
Where's Hodges now?
Down the hall. We've set up a medical suite in Secure Z.
And the death certificate?
Done. As far as the world knows, he's molding on a slab at the coroner's.
Keep it that way.
No one knows he's alive unless they have to.
No, just the ambulance driver, the medical team, and 3 security. All trustworthy. Wait. Are you sure he's up for this? I know what happened out there. Medication worked. He'll be okay. I'm not talking about the seizure. I'm talking about the Tony Almeida situation. What about it? His former partner betrays him. He tries to have you all killed. Jack must have some feelings about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's what's keeping him going.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Is anyone listening? I know you're watching. I see the cameras. I know you're watching. Do you realize what you people have done? You didn't save me. You killed my family. Killed my family. You killed them. You killed them.
How long has he been conscious?
10 minutes. He's been talking about his family ever since. Biometrics are over here. Cardiac, respiratory, plus dermal infrared. Good. We'll know if he's lying. Jack, the president is monitoring this.
Sergeant, I'm asking you.
Soldier to soldier, let me have your firearm. I'll use one bullet on myself. Please.
Relax, Mr. Hodges. You're already dead. Sergeant.
The soldier leaves.
Who are you?
My name is Jack Bauer. And right now, I'm the only chance your wife and children have to stay alive.
Explain that to me.
The people that wanted you dead don't know you survived. Tell us who they are, and we'll keep it that way.
The president has agreed to provide you with a death certificate and witness protection in exchange for actionable information.
I can't watch this anymore.
If you refuse, it'll be released to the press that you are alive and in our custody and that you're cooperating.
We'll let your friends take care of the rest.
My family is innocent. The president would never allow that to happen.
She doesn't have the stomach for it.
You might be right about that. But make no mistake about it, sir.
I do. Trust me. Do your family a favor. Just tell me who you've been working with.
Jack steps aside, leaving Hodges to mull this over.
I was part of a larger group of like minds.
You mean other companies like Starkwood?
I mean people who can protect this country better than any government ever could.
There are hundreds of private military companies in this country. We're talking tens of thousands of people.
But only a handful with the guts and the vision to do what was necessary.
And what is that?
Plan was to launch simultaneous attacks early next year. Multiple cities, so the public would finally see that the government can't protect them. They demand drastic measures and we'd step in.
How would you justify that to the American people?
Simple. Offload the blame. We were going to supply the enemies that want to destroy this country. Muhammad this, Ahmed that.
From sleeper cells, the apologists say don't even exist. You, of all people, should understand.
Understand what?
I watched the Senate hearing yesterday.
And I was disgusted with how you were treated. You should be regarded as a hero, not a criminal.
Jack is momentarily distracted.
I broke the law.
You were following your instinct to protect your country, just like me.
Mr. Hodges, I need the names of the people that you are working with.
I have spent my entire life protecting this country from enemies large and small. I created Starkwood from the ground up. The government used us to great effect, and now they think they can just throw us away.
Are you telling me that this has been about protecting your contracts, about money?
I tried to tell the politicians how vulnerable we are. They wouldn't listen, so we decided to show them.
By attacking your own country with a biological weapon. By killing innocent people.
Yes, a few innocent lives would be lost, but only to save the greater number. Having the courage to make those hard choices gives us a lot in common, Mr. Bauer.
Let me explain something to you. You and I have absolutely nothing in common. All that you have done today is create a scenario by attacking your own country that has made you valuable again. Today has been nothing short of a desperate grab for power, and it has failed. You have failed. And unless you want me to go public with the fact that you are still alive, you are going to give me the names of the people that you've been working with.
I don't have...
I want the names.
I don't have...
I want the names!
I don't know any!
Fine.
Jack casts Hodges a dismissive glance and pulls out his mobile. In the observation room, Renee's phone rings and she answers.
Patch me through to Amy Meyer at the Washington Post.
No.
Amy, it's Jack. I have a statement I need to make.
Wait.
Give me the names!
I swear I don't have them. This whole project was based on anonymity. We never met in person. Everything was handled through an intermediary, a woman. She never told me who she was. She never told me her name. I never asked her.
The same woman that gave you the poison?
Yes.
In the observation room, Renee looks at the screen showing Hodges' face. She crosses to the two-way mirror window and knocks. Jack looks towards her and then once more speaks into his phone.
Amy, I'm sorry something's come up. I've got to call you back. You tell yourself whatever you want. You are a traitor.
Witness protection was your promise.
Yeah.
Madam President, did you hear everything that Hodges had to say?
Yes. Is any of it even credible?
All of it is. Biometric monitors here indicate that he was telling the truth.
Whoever they are, this group just went through an awful lot of trouble to get their hands on that last canister. It seems very clear to me that their plan is still on.
You mean another attack?
Yes, ma'am. I think you should proceed under the assumption that they might strike immediately.
Hold on. Hodges said sometime next year.
No. Hodges said that was the plan. Given the chaos that he created today, the smart strategic move would be to act right now. Now, I believe the canister is still in this area, so we're going to have to alert Homeland, have them start identifying and raiding targets.
Hodges said that the plan was to enlist parties with terrorist ties. At this point, I think that might be our most solid lead.
Madam President, I agree with Agent Walker. We need to make an immediate threat assessment with focus on all known terrorist activity. The fastest way for us to get that information is to gain access to the CTU servers that have been sealed as a result of Senator Mayer's investigation.
I'll have them recommissioned immediately. And consider the resources of this government at your disposal, Jack.
Thank you, ma'am. I need those servers right away.
They're in DOJ evidence lockers on the third floor. I'll have IT break them up.
Okay, good.
We have a new shift of analysts coming in. If you can tell them what you're looking for.
No, we don't have time. We need someone who already knows the protocols. I'll take care of it. Just give me those servers.
Left alone in the observation room, Jack pulls out his mobile and dials out. 3:34. In what would seem to be a hotel room, Chloe lies fully clothed on top of a bed in which sleeps what would appear to be a child. She reaches for her mobile.
Who is it?
Hey, it's me, Jack.
Jack, where the hell are you?
FBI headquarters.
I've been trying to reach you all night. No one will tell me anything. Is it true about Bill?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Chloe's face falls. She gets up and crosses to sit at a table.
What happened?
He was killed during the White House siege. Chloe, you should know. Bill sacrificed his life to save the president. Listen to me, this threat is not over. We believe that there's going to be a biological attack somewhere in the area soon. I need your help to stop it.
How?
I need you to reconstitute the CTU servers.
They were seized when the CTU was decommissioned. I don't have access to them.
You will by the time you get here.
Who's doing this?
We don't have all the players. I'll fill you in with as much as I know when you get here. I'm sending a car over to your hotel.
Chloe, with tears in her eyes, casts a look towards her sleeping son.
Chloe.
Send a car.
Thank you.
Chloe thoughtfully closes her phone. She looks towards the bed and crosses to it, slipping on her shoes. Wiping tears from her eyes, she walks around to the other side of the bed and kneels beside her sleeping son. She cradles his head and places her cheek to his before kissing him. She then crosses to the sofa bed on which Morris is sleeping.
Morris, my God.
Are you speaking to me again now?
I have to go. I need you to take Prescott and get out of the city.
Why?
I just spoke with Jack. There's going to be another attack. This time it's biological.
Okay, then we'll all get out of here together.
I can't. FBI needs me.
The last time you worked for these people, they arrested you.
I know, but I'm the only one that can get the servers back online.
Well, I'm not going to leave you here. Not with the possibility of a biological attack.
She steps closer and embraces Morris.
Please. I'm the only one that can do this. Jack needs me, and I just need for you and Prescott to be safe. Okay? I'll see you back at home.
Just be careful.
I will.
She turns, her expression fraught with suppressed emotion. She picks up her handbag and crosses to the door, turning as she goes out to give a final look towards Morris, who remains standing in the middle of the room, grim-faced. 3:37. 3:41. An emergency meeting seems to be convening at FBI HQ. Jack sits in a darkened side room, giving himself yet another injection. He wipes the sweat from his face and rolls his sleeve back down before getting painfully to his feet.
All right. Before we begin, everyone make sure you have your updated briefing packets and the latest CDC abstract. Jack, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. I know many of you have lost friends and colleagues today. I have too. Unfortunately, the time to mourn these brave men and women is going to have to wait. Because as many of you are already aware, we are facing the threat of a terrorist event somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard. We don't have specific intel as the timetable of this attack, but we do have reason to believe that the people that are behind this will want to strike immediately.
Excuse me. Tim Moran, Field Ops. Who are the people behind this?
Right now, we only have two confirmed suspects. Tony Almeida and the woman he's been working with. We're still trying to identify her.
The assumption is The two of them are part of a broader conspiracy, as outlined in your briefing material.
And the nature of the attack? I mean, all it says here is biological.
Well, the actual pathogen is a prion variant designed to attack the central nervous system and ultimately destroy it.
Do we know what the target is?
No, not yet. We're also unclear on the specifics of the delivery device.
Well, what leads do we have?
Right now, we are solely working off an operational theory that the people that are behind this will need to manufacture evidence in an effort to offload the blame for this attack to either another group or an individual with terrorist sympathies. During the ensuing panic, these people will move in and seize power under the guise of creating and maintaining stability.
So our job here is to look for traces of that manufactured evidence.
How exactly?
Pattern searches of suspicious financial transactions, keyword intercepts of existing wiretaps, websites, and emails, and data mining all NSA and CIA intelligence on jihadist activities over the past 6 months.
Excuse me, not only is that type of blanket surveillance illegal, we don't have the capacity to pull it off. The search algorithms simply don't exist.
Yes, they do, at CTU.
Those servers were decommissioned.
Not anymore. They're here. We're in the process of installing them now.
What does that make us, CTU Light? Last I heard, the Bureau was a federal entity bound by federal statute.
Janice, do this or I will find someone else who will. I do not have time to argue.
I'm not arguing, I'm asking.
Moving on.
Jack has left the meeting room to go to meet Chloe.
I've got it from here, thanks.
Jack.
Hey. Thanks for coming.
You look like hell, are you all right?
I'm fine.
You don't look fine.
Maybe a little tired. You get the report I sent you?
Yeah, I read it on the way over. It's terrifying. How real is this?
Real.
We're getting access to the CTU servers, right?
Yeah, they're coming online now.
Shouldn't I be supervising this?
Yeah, look, there's something I need to talk to you about before we get started. There's no easy way for me to say this, but Tony's been responsible for these attacks.
That's not possible.
He was using you and Bill all along. He's really been working for a group of private military firms trying to destabilize this country in an effort to seize power. So far today, his actions have cost the lives of hundreds of people, but he's threatening thousands more.
It doesn't make any sense. I know he was devastated over Michelle, but...
Oh, he's not your friend. The Tony that you knew, he doesn't exist anymore.
There has to be a reason.
A reason for what? Bringing down two passenger planes? Trying to ambush 25 federal agents? Chloe. He tried to kill me. He betrayed us all. You, me, and Bill. And right now, our only responsibility is to stop him. Now, I need to know that you can treat him as an enemy combatant, that you are with me on this.
Okay, I'll do whatever you say.
No. I need to know that you are with me on this.
I'm with you.
Okay. Let's go.
3:46. A white car pulls up in a dark city street. Tony is at the wheel. His female accomplice sits in the front passenger seat.
His name's Gibran Alzarian. 27 years old. He's a day laborer at Cabrera Granite Construction.
Immigration status?
Illegal. His visa expired as of January.
Ties to any extremist groups?
No, none. There's definitely anger there. Both parents were killed in a U.S. airstrike by the Pakistani border. He was 11 at the time.
Fits his psych profile.
Bit of a loner, mystery to his co-workers, and we built the rest.
What about the family?
One younger brother who he's pretty much raised on his own. It's perfect, huh?
Though it is doubtful that anyone sleeps very well in D.C. tonight, a certain calm has now settled over the streets of Capitol Hill. After an unprecedented series of terror attacks left people all over the country shaken and demanding answers. In her speech, President Taylor went a long way toward reassuring Americans.
Hey. Morning.
There is a pour yourself some orange juice.
I'm not really very hungry.
Sit down. Eat some breakfast for once. It's unhealthy not to.
What are you doing up anyway?
I couldn't sleep. Listen, I want you to come home straight after work today, okay? No dilly-dallying.
Why?
Just in case.
In case of what?
These attacks, this terrorism. It's all over the news. Okay, it's not a good day to be a Muslim.
Gibran, Muslims had nothing to do with it.
Doesn't matter.
Nobody cares, believe me. Most of the guys at my work think I'm Puerto Rican anyway.
It's about time.
A large car speeds around the corner and pulls up behind Tony, who gets out along with his accomplice. Two men get out from the other car carrying a bag. The foursome head off towards a residential block. 3:48, end of part three. Part four, 3:52.
Come in.
Excuse me, Miss Taylor.
What is it?
The Attorney General asked me to check in with you. He's waiting to sign off on a document I was told you were reviewing.
Anyone happen to mention to you what this document is about?
No, ma'am.
No, I imagine they wouldn't. It's a secret, highly classified. Not that I give a damn. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card for Jonas Hodges, the bastard responsible for my brother's death. So many others.
I don't understand, ma'am. Mr. Hodges died in the hospital.
I wish that were the case, but no. And once the AG signs this witness protection agreement, Hodges is going to live out his days in comfort and anonymity. While my brother lies in his grave in Arlington Cemetery. Does that sound like justice to you, Aaron?
No, ma'am, it does not.
And yet my mother saw fit to reward this monster for his cooperation.
Well, I'm sure it was a difficult decision for the president to make.
Not difficult enough. My mother may be able to live with it, but I'm not sure I can.
Miss Taylor, I have seen the guilty walk free many times. I understand your anger and frustration, and I am genuinely sorry.
Tell the AG I've reviewed the agreement, and we can move ahead.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anything else that I can do for you?
Other than kill Jonas Hodges, no.
Aaron stops, looking at her seriously.
I'm sorry, Aaron. I didn't mean that. I was just venting.
Ma'am.
Aaron leaves. Olivia ponders a moment and then hurries around to her desk and picks up her mobile. She hesitates, staring at the phone and breathing deeply. She opens it and dials. A man asleep in bed answers it.
Hello?
Martin? It's Olivia Taylor. Did I wake you?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. What time is it?
Almost four. Actually, I didn't expect to catch you at home. I thought you were in Florida doing opposition for the Gaynor campaign.
No, that didn't really work out.
Why not?
Let's just say that my methods were a little hardball for the governor's taste.
A young man nestles closer to Martin.
So, what can I do for you, Olivia?
You heard about the attack on the White House?
Yeah, I watched your mother's address to the nation. It's really impressive. She continues to surprise, doesn't she?
Listen, Martin, I need your help. Can we meet?
Now?
Yeah.
Well, what's this about, Olivia?
I can't talk about it over the phone.
Well, it's the middle of the night, you know? You gotta do better than that.
We were in a dive hotel bar in Atlanta. Right after we picked Hayworth to be the running mate on the ticket, there was an issue regarding his abuse of a certain prescription drug and a local reporter who couldn't be persuaded to shut up about it. I remember. You turned to me and said there was no problem that couldn't be handled or eliminated.
Well, I was drunk.
You were serious.
You know, you're right. We shouldn't be talking about this over the phone.
How soon can you be at the White House?
House 15 minutes, son.
Good.
She breathes deeply. 357 at FBI HQ.
You done with that yet?
I'm not familiar with these commands.
Oh, you don't want to boot the subnet with server 2. It has a faulty bus that we weren't able to fix before you guys impounded it.
Well, maybe you'd like to take over.
Only if you want it to work right.
I don't like this either.
Is there a problem?
Yes, there is. I'm not comfortable doing this. I agreed to it, but I don't like it.
What exactly aren't you comfortable with?
Well, the Bill of Rights being violated, for one. So if you're going to be doing anything grossly illegal, please...
We'll make sure we notify you so you can leave the building.
Jack turns back to his work. Janice appears momentarily chastened by his rebuke. She looks around as the CTU logo comes up on a series of screens around her.
Hello, Big Brother.
Look, if you think your need to complain is more important than the lives of the people that are counting on us, go whine somewhere else!
Jack, it's okay.
No, it is not okay. President David Palmer recommissioned these servers because he felt it was vital to national security. President Palmer made the call. Is that going to be good enough for you? Answer me!
Yes.
Jack falters slightly. He casts a look to Chloe and then walks away. The personnel on the operations floor look on, seemingly shocked and or embarrassed by the nature but also the content of Jack's outburst. Jack goes to sit down in a screened workstation. Chloe turns woodenly to Janice.
There's something really wrong with him. You said President Palmer.
He meant Taylor.
He said it twice.
Jack holds his head in his hands. Olivia Taylor stands tensely in her office. Hodges remains in his bed in the improvised medical room. Jamal and his brother tidy up the breakfast things in their small flat. The lights all go out.
What is this now?
Probably a fuse.
Ira, you do what you can to finish up. I'm gonna go check the box.
Taking a torch, Jamal heads off towards the rear of the apartment. His brother continues busying himself as best he can in the darkness. The brother is grabbed from behind and a pad applied to his face. He manages to break free.
You run! I mean...
The brother opens the front door to find Tony and his accomplice. He is coshed from behind. Jamal appears.
I mean...
Tony grabs him at gunpoint.
Keep your mouth shut. No one gets hurt.
Who are you? What do you want?
Shut up!
What do you do to my brother?
Come in! One more word, I put a bullet in your brain. You understand?
You understand this?
4 a.m. The end.